The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. You can post for me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money moves. Welcome back to the Gridiron Gals podcast. I am Rita, the NFL chick.
And good day, everyone. Good evening, good day, whatever. This is Chelsea, aka Chelsea, right?
And we are officially going into week 3 of the NFL season. But of course, we have to talk about all of the things that happened in week 2 of the NFL season. So let's get right into it. Chels, your Cowboys is first up on up to bat.
Never heard of them.
But you'll know who they are now.
Never heard of them.
Cowboys. Shocked the world. Let me say the Broncos shocked the world, because I don't think many people picked the Broncos unless you're a Broncos fan to win. But they beat the Cowboys, you know, handedly on Sunday. But the loss obviously wasn't the biggest takeaway from it. The big talk has been about running back Ezekiel Elliott. A couple things. There's a play that's been kind of going around on the internet in which, was it an interception, I believe? Or some type of fumble recovery. Either way, the Broncos defense recovered the ball, and Zeke appeared to have given up on the play. You have people been voicing their opinions about his play or lack thereof on that specific play. And it's also Zeke's weight. There's also pictures going around from his college career at Ohio State when he was wearing the half shirts to his draft day for the NFL draft to now, and it looks like he's putting on a couple of pounds. So let's start with the first question, Chels. Did you think that Zeke quit on his team on that play? And then secondly, what are your thoughts about the weight that he's picking up?
Okay, so first of all, no, I do not believe that he quit on that play. The expectations for him to turn into a defensive player already. I guess they wanted him to scramble after the ball. I don't know. It's so many things that people wanted him to do in that moment. But no, I don't think he quit on his team. I think some people were saying he quit on his team just because of his running effort. I mean, none of that made any sense. And then he was sitting on the sideline, and he looked disheartened and grumpy. And I guess they figured, oh, you know, he's a sore loser. He's a spoiled kid. And the funny thing about that is the person who actually called him out on that, who is LaDainian Tomlinson, who I refer to as multiracial LaDainian, because, you know, he's biracial now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
After his whole Hall of Fame speech, because he related to his slave owners.
Yeah.
So LaDainian Tomlinson, who is the same person who, wasn't it during the playoff game, the Chargers playoff game, where he got upset and he was sitting on the sideline with his helmet on, with the visor down, looking like Marvin the Martian? How soon we forget. So, like, we go from 1 week, Zeke is, oh, my God, he's the greatest thing ever playing against Dallas. I mean, playing against the Giants. And now, all of a sudden, he quit on his team, and now he's fat. Zeke weighs the same amount that he weighed last season. It was Dan Lebatard and Stu Goss, and I know those your folks, but, you know, Stu Goss is the one who brought up, you know, I think Zeke may have gained a few pounds, and Dan Lebatard says he looks fat. And, you know, once they say that, because they're such a popular radio show, once they say that, it kind of goes, and people started doing the side-by-side comparisons. I mean, one part of me wanted to ask some of them people, what did your mama look like when she was in college? Did she look the same? Your mama looked the same as she did when she was at Ohio State? Like, get out of here. Like, people change, like the composition of your body changes. The type of working out and all of that stuff changes. Also angles, and I am the master of angles. I mean, I can make myself look like I'm a 36, 24, 36 if I need to. So, you know, I just think that it's just silly to be talking about that. They did that with Tony Romo a couple of years ago, saying that, you know, oh, he looked fat, and then all of a sudden, the next thing we see him coming out, and all of a sudden he's all svelte. So I just think that people just want something to talk about. Unfortunately, with Zeke, they're just piling everything on. So he has to hear that he's fat. He quit on his team. He's a bad sport. And he don't know if he's playing week to week. That's a whole lot.
That's very true in terms of him, his uncertainty in terms of how he plays. So I am on the other spectrum of this. I don't think that Zeke quit on his team. I think that is very, that's a very strong statement to make. I don't think that one play means that a person quit on their team, but I do think that that play, he was just like, okay, I don't think that I'm going to be able to get to that, so fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't a Cowboys day, and I think that that play is synonymous to the day that the Cowboys had. I mean, it just wasn't going their way. It wasn't going to go their way. The game, honestly, was one-handedly the Broncos game. It was just their day to have, and the Cowboys, unfortunately, was the opponent. Now, the problem that you have with Zeke is that he's had an off season like he had, so people are definitely putting him under a microscope, in which where maybe if it was someone else that did that, we would talk about it, but then it would be not such a big deal. But because of him and because of the things that he's going through, it's, you know, a relevant topic of sorts. I think that the problem that I have, though, is that, you know, Jerry Jones tried to, you know, defend him, which I'm not mad about defending your guy. That's your guy. But then he mentioned, like, well, the offensive line quit too. And that's not fair. That's not fair.
No, that's not fair. You know, and honestly, if I'm Denver, I'm like, so what, y'all don't think we can beat them? I mean, how about Denver just beat them?
That was my next point, too, is that that's why I don't think that that comment is fair, because Von Miller was on that other side. I mean, let's give Denver the respect that they deserve. Von Miller made a 15-1 Carolina Panther team look like the Jacksonville Jaguars in a Super Bowl game. So let's not criticize. If you're Jerry Jones, I get you criticizing like your team, because that's your team, but you got to give props to where it's due. The Denver Broncos defense is very, very good, particularly up front. And although we all know the Cowboys offensive line is a very good offensive line, one of the best in the National Football League, it just wasn't that day. And, you know, I personally think that Zeke just was like, okay, today ain't my day. Fuck it. I'm not pacifying it, but I think that I'm going to give it a pass, because if it's not a pattern, I'm not concerned. That's the thing that I have about the whole quit the team thing. As far as his weight is concerned, you know, Zeke been partying. That's beer weight. He need to lay off the Heineken. He need to lay off the 40 ounce. As long as he can do that, he'll be fine. But that's bloating weight, because I know what that weight look like, because I know what my stomach look like when I have some beer in my system. That ain't nothing but beer belly. All you got to do is stop drinking beer. You're just going to have to find some alcohol that you like. And obviously, I'm not saying consume it to the point that you're drunk to an oblivion. But we know alcohol is full of empty calories. I don't think that Zeke is out of shape, per se. This is living the fruits of his labor. He's an NFL player. He getting money. He probably eating good. Noriega wants
to. But he's the same weight as he was last season.
But you know, but the thing is that.
Okay, yeah, he probably doesn't look the same as he did at Ohio State.
Correct.
But he is the same weight. Like, now, you really might have called him, just like you said, you might have caught him on a blow today, but I can't even believe that they are even saying that. Like,
yeah.
The difference, like when you talk about weight, like you would talk about, like Eddie Lacy, that was a lot of weight.
That's different, yes. That he has a weight problem, and he's admitted to having a weight problem.
Right, but like Zeke, I'm just like you really may see him come out on Monday night, and he might have his shirt all the way off because y'all been talking about how fat he is, and he might come out there with the half shirt all the way above his chest.
I'd be interested in that, and I just think
it's
the way a Hulkamania shirt underneath it, just to fuck with people. I just think he had one too many beers a couple times. I don't even think it's that big of a deal. He just, you know, that's what happens. I know what it's like to have a couple beers, and the next day you be looking at your stomach like, so it didn't look like that yesterday. I don't know why it looks like that today. All that damn beers and them empty calories that made your stomach bloat. He just got to lay off the beer a little bit. I don't think it's an issue. If he's weighing in as an issue, then it's an issue. Other than that, let's not fat shame his stomach. I mean, God.
Oh, like, my God.
Right. He still got 4 packs over there. I ain't got no packs, okay? So who am me to judge about his little bloated little bottom half of his stomach? Because I can relate to that more than I can relate to them 6-pack abs that he got, because I ain't never had no 6-pack abs. Shit, I'm jealous of that. So that is, you're right. I mean, you know, Stugatz and Dan, yes, that's the nature of their show and how they speak. And I really do think that the NFL is lacking a lot of storylines, so you do have to pull storylines kind of out of your ass. And so that's something that's happen, and then you add to the fact that, you know, he had the play that he made, he just became an easy target of the week because we're looking for something to talk about in the NFL. So, you know, as long as Zeke doesn't make that a trend, I don't have a problem with it too much. I just think that at the end of the day, the Broncos was handling their business, and the Cowboys was just like, okay, I mean, shit, we getting our ass. Well, we just need to go home and regroup and wait till next week to get our shit together.
That's it. That's all.
And that's how, you know, that's how it went. Let's stay with the NFC East. So the Giants, of course, lost to Monday Night Football game to the Lions. They are now 0-2. I believe they started 0-2 last year as well. And so, of course, you have people that's already starting.
They did not start 0-2 last year. They beat us in the first game last year.
Oh, that's correct. Uh-huh. That's correct.
Okay. They haven't started 0-2 since like 2006, I think.
I about to say maybe. I believe I saw a stat about them starting 0-2 recently. I could be making that up, but you're right.
I don't know. It could be, but it definitely wasn't last year because they definitely beat us.
You're right in the fact that they did beat you week one. So I apologize about that stat. But they're 0-2. There's a 12% chance of them making the playoffs at 0-2, or any team that's 0-2 at this point. And they were, you know, pegged Super Bowl champions. So a couple things happened in the game. The head coach, Ben McAdoo, threw Eli under the bus, you know, basically kind of blaming him on some plays that had happened. Odell, of course, that was his first game of the season after his injury in the preseason, and he basically was not a factor at all. And then, you know, you have to start looking at personnel. So my question to you, Tell, or a couple of questions. One, what was your thoughts on Ben McAdoo's press conference in which, you know, he threw Eli under the bus? Two, does Odell become a factor, or do the Giants have a real problem? And three, is the Giants' problem the GM and Jerry Reese?
Okay, let me go ahead and answer the third question first. Yes. Okay, now back to the first question. The first question is, do I have a problem with Ben McAdoo throwing Eli under the bus? Absolutely. First of all, Ben McAdoo's gotten real sassy since he started slicking his hair back like Pat Riley. He's gotten real sassy. I think that you should be very honest with your team and honest with the leaders of your team, like Eli or whatever, but let's not put that all on Eli, because Eli got sacked 5 times.
Yes.
Now, sometimes being sacked is the fault of the quarterback. You hold the ball too long, all kinds of dumb shit, right? That offensive line is some bullshit.
Yeah.
Eric Flowers and what's the boy's name that said he can't wait, he was the best tackle in the league or something, and then he hurt his foot, I think Bobby Hart or somebody. And, yeah, they need to pack them up and move them out. You can't get up there and say bad quarterback play. It was bad quarterback play several times. And he said it like almost like a who gonna check me, you know? And I'm like, so you're not gonna attribute anything to the offense? And there is a way of putting the blame on your quarterback without putting the blame on your quarterback. You can say things like, we were not able to move the ball offensively, or we were not able to get passes to connect downfield. Like, you don't just say bad quarterback play. Like, that was really tactless. And you know what? He's going to fuck around, and Archie Manning is going to meet him at the bus for talking about his baby boy like that. Don't mess with the Manning. They deep. They too deep. But yeah, I thought he was petty for that. As far as OBJ, I think that Odell Beckham played on Monday night because he got caught dancing last week, and there was no way for them to get around him dancing and then not playing football. I don't think he was ready.
Yeah.
A few catches. He had he did a little bit of something out there, but clearly he did not make the difference that people thought he would have made if he had played the week one game versus Dallas. So, excuse me, I'm not sure what's going on. Even Brandon Marshall dropped a huge pass.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so you can't put it all on Eli. I mean, Eli on Eli, but he really wasn't having a whole lot to work with out there. So,
yeah, I believe that the play that was in question was a 4th and goal, and I believe they were, like, inside the 5 for the Lions, and they weren't able to get the snap off in time. And so he was critical about that. Now, let me say that I don't have a problem with a coach being critical about a player in a critical play that could have potentially changed the dynamic of the game. So I get you saying, hey, my quarterback is a veteran quarterback, and I want to get him – he needs to get the ball snapped. However, There is a way to say that, like you said, and then there's a way to also hold other players accountable, because you already mentioned that Eli got sacked a shitload of times on Monday night. And so while, you know, okay, fine, I'm fine with him saying, you know, I need you to get that ball out your hand at fourth and goal at the four or wherever it was. But I also need him to say, but then I need my offensive line to do their part, and they have to protect their quarterback. And if they're unable to do that, we're not going to win football games. Like, there's coach speak. They do that whole coach speak shit for a reason. If you're not able to do that, you're going to get scrutinized, particularly when you're 0-2. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't like Jacksonville going 0-2. This is the Giants going 0-2, who people have tons of expectations for coming into the season. So for you to be so eager to say those things and not really hold other people accountable does kind of make me look at him. And I'm curious to know what Eli thought about that after the fact and how that changes the nature of their relationship or not, you know? But yeah. I can't imagine he'd be too thrilled about that, knowing that the offensive line played as trash as they did.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants all of the blame to be on them. Now, I think that if Eli were to come out, you would have asked him. I think Eli would eat the blame. I think he would eat the blame. But that is often what quarterbacks do. They eat the blame even when it's not them. You know, but to throw him under the bus like that and to kind of like, it really was like, it was Eli. It was all Eli's fault. It was him. Yep. Him did it. I was like, oh, no. We would have to have a little conversation.
Yeah, and I feel like it's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. It's rubbed a lot of Giants fans the wrong way. Just a lot of people in general the wrong way. In terms of the OBJ situation, I agree with you. I don't think that he's healthy. I think he kind of got forced out there because you can't afford to be talking about somebody ain't playing if they was in a dance-off and expect them not to play football. It's something that they get paid to do, although he doesn't get paid a ton. But nonetheless, he gets paid. So I do agree with you that they did push him a little bit too soon to go out there and play. And then, yeah, I am curious to know about what Jerry Reese, what his career is going to be like after this season with the Giants. Is the are we already turning the stove on for him? Is it already starting to warm up? Is it?
Oh, please. Jerry Reese ain't going nowhere. He got intel. He got the same intel that Marvin Lewis got.
Oh, Lord, please. Please.
You know.
Please.
They got the same intel.
Please. I mean, seriously.
They are part of a ghost organization, I'm trying to tell you. It's amazing to me. Those two in it, yeah, they are part of a ghost organization.
Well, I mean, I just think yeah, you're going to get what you're going to get, which means that the Giants could be anywhere from 7-9 to 11-5. The consistency isn't going to be there. And I'm not asking for him to get fired, by the way. I'm just saying that you have to, if you're going to keep him, you have to be comfortable with what you're going to get with him. And so if you're comfortable with potentially being anywhere from 7-9 to 11-5, then that's what it's going to be.
Right.
Until then, I mean, you know, that is what you're going to deal with, I think, with Jerry Reese. Because I think that he has had some good years that allowed him to earn some time for when he has a couple of bad ones. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to really put that on him now. It's too early in the season to tell. And they did make a lot of changes, and they did draft some players that are supposed to be impactful for them immediately. So I guess we have to see how that goes as the season goes on. But I will say this, if the Giants don't make the playoffs, everybody is in trouble. The head coach, the GM, you got to wonder if they start looking at Eli and seeing, you know, do they need to move on, get one of these quarterbacks that's coming out in the draft. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they don't, you know, make it to the playoffs, because so many people had them going to the Super Bowl or at least going to an NFC championship game. So, again, we're going to stick with the NFC. This must be NFC East Day. Y'all had all the drama.
You know, we keeps it live, baby. We live, baby.
Y'all always live, okay? So, is them live? We live. Santana Moss, for whatever reason, decides to bring up RG3 in the year 2017. And it was really about the relationship between he, meaning RG3, and Mike Shanahan. And he claims that RG3 was delighted in Shanahan's dismissal, and he dismissal. So RG3 goes on to Twitter, which, by the way, RG3, you need to learn how to thread your tweets, okay? Because we had to go to your timeline, real timeline, and read the whole damn thing as opposed to it together. So I need somebody to teach RG3 how to thread his tweets. But went to his timeline, and he started tweeting Santa Moss and started saying certain things about him, and basically he thought that they were better than that. So I guess my question to you is, first of all, talking about RG3 in 2017, because he ain't got no job like Tommy, and Santana a bitch for even saying that. Like, it could be the truth, it could be a lie, but RG3 is responsible for something like that.
So what he said, I guess what he was basically saying, that, like, you know, RG3 was bragging about getting Shanahan fired, and he was like, oh yeah, you know, we're gonna do this. And then when Gruden came in, RG3 thought he was gonna still kind of rock the same way, and then Gruden started getting in his shit time after time after time. And, you know, basically Santana was kind of saying that RG3 was a bit of a brat. Now look, RG3 is not very popular amongst his teammates.
Correct.
Doesn't seem like people like him very much as a person. You know, so, but it seems like from the reaction that RG3 had, it seemed like he and Santana Moss had some sort of personal relationship. And so I guess his thing was, you and I have a personal relationship and you're going on this radio show talking about me. You know, you can come to me or whatever. And so RG3 started basically ranting about his work ethic, and I do this and I do that. And some things he said, you know, the coach never wanted me there. Well, that ain't false, you know, and I don't have no problem. Some people say, oh, he shouldn't say that. Why? Who gonna do something? Who gonna do something to him? So I think that the bigger thing is like, you got this man's phone number. Y'all are friends on some level and everything. And here it is. RG3 has not been in Washington since what, 2013, 2014? What radio station are you? Why are y'all talking about RG3? This obsession that Washington has with RG3 is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. RG3 has gone on. He's played for another team. He sat out a year. He sat on the bench. He came to every game sitting on the bench. He said, like, why are y'all still talking about him? So he came for Santana Moss. He said, I ain't dropping those subliminals. But he didn't personally insult him, but he defended himself. And I don't have no problem with that. Like, I don't have no problem with him defending himself. I tell you, you know, he cut his little braids off and stepped up into 2017. Now he out there showing off. RG3 is an easy target. He's an easy target, and he said, "Not today, I ain't." So yeah, you know, yeah. Santana may have predicted that he might have gotten a text. He didn't know he was going to get a Twitter rant.
Had a full Twitter rant, honey.
Full Twitter rant, and I was here. I had 2 feet in that conversation.
You know, RG3, like you said, was considered not really likable by a lot of people. But, you know, while I do think he's responsible for some things, I don't think he's responsible for others. I do believe him in saying, because I believe it's been said that Shanahan didn't want him. He wanted to start Cousins because, you know, Cousins, he felt like, was a more traditional quarterback. But, you know, RG3, so they the deal. You believe him when he says that. And I believe that he wanted out, because remember, he was here. He was like leaking his own stories to the media about like potentially getting fired and stuff. And they said it wasn't true, but he wanted to get fired. So I can see that now. Did he gloat about it? You know what though? If I was RG3 and a guy didn't like me but had to coach me and he got fired, I'd probably gloat about that shit too.
Man, what? Please.
I'm not going to even lie to you. I mean, even if it ain't even the truth, it probably ain't even true that he had anything to do with it, but who cares about the truth? You know what I'm saying? If you don't like me for no fucking reason, guess what? I don't like you either, and I'm going to be happy that your ass is gone. I'll be gloating about it too. Because I'm petty, okay? And most people are. And most people are not going to be sad if somebody that don't really rock with them is no longer employed with the same company that they with. So I ain't mad at him. If he said that in confidence to Santana, it should have stayed between he and Santana. That's the problem I think that I have is that whether or not it's true, you know, whatever. He probably did say that shit. He probably was like, yeah, you know, I got his ass fired. He probably didn't, but he just was happy that he was gone. But Santana, to me, because now you're on the other side of it, you're in the media, and you want to be able to feel like you have this scoop. So you're bringing up this old ass story to try to make this relevant. That's not cool. That's not. You need to do your groundwork, take your ass into these locker rooms, establish relationships with these players, and find some new scoop to get. Because that old ass scoop is played out like the fucking wop. We don't care about that story no more in 2017. We really don't. Mm-mm. And although we entertained it for like, what, 2 hours? We moved on so fast after that. Well, unless you're in the D.C. area, you talked about it all day. But if you was outside the D.C. area, we entertained that for like an hour or two and went on about the next story.
Exactly. And let's be honest, the D.C. sports media is some bullshit too.
And they are obsessed.
Why
obsessed.
Are y'all talking about RG3?
They are obsessed.
Like, it is crazy. But you know what? They did this, though. They made him some sort of deity before he even got drafted. They had meet and greets set up and all kinds of shit. But they turned him into some sort of deity. And now, you know, now that he's gone, now you're still talking about him and stuff like he's Bigfoot or something. I'm like, yo, y'all have got to find something else to talk about.
Seriously. I mean, y'all got a whole, y'all ain't finna have a quarterback next year. Talk about that.
Killer Kirk said he got somewhere else to go.
Killer Kirk said he is waiting for his clock to run out so he can smoothly his ass onto that West Coast of San Francisco and play there. That's what you need to be talking about. You need to be counting down the days till Kirk Cousins become a free agent and goes to the West Coast, because that feels like that's going to happen. And then you're not going to have RG3 or you're going to have Kirk Cousins. And then now what?
Exactly.
Grow up and get on.
RG3 said, I'm over here minding my business. You know,
his baby with his new woman.
I got my new baby and not all of that kind of stuff. I'm over here writing child support checks and y'all talking about me. Little short ass Saint Animals. Get out of here, man.
Business. Taking care of all these churn that he having out here with his ex-wife and his new lady. And y'all want to be bringing them in. I ain't shit. All right, let's switch the gears to college a little bit. So If you checked out the games this past weekend, there were two games that were particularly interesting. One was the USC and Texas game. Obviously, Texas lost big time week one to Maryland, and although they only lost by 10, the score really doesn't say. Maryland dominated that game. So they go to USC. It becomes a close one. Double overtime, I believe.
Yeah, it was double overtime. Yes, it was. It was double overtime. Absolutely.
They had a huge game, but they came out with the loss. USC found a way to get the win. So, 0-2 Texas at this point. They're not going the way that they should. However, USC is supposed to be the darling, one of the darlings, the surprise teams of college football, and they let Texas hang around with them to double overtime. So is the jig up with USC? I mean, are they overrated?
I think that there was a lot of emotion in this game. I don't think on paper or whatever that USC probably should have been a pretty easy game, but you know, it was an emotional game. You know, they had revenge on the mind. Everybody had the jitters. It was a lot of pressure, all of that good stuff. And they made it a good game. And I'm thankful for it, because last week on the podcast, I said I was looking forward to Clemson and Louisville. And I turned that shit off. I said, this is some bullshit. I ain't watching this. And I turned to USC and had Gus Johnson. I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the game wasn't, it was a little bit of a snoozer in some parts. But once we got near the end of the first half and the end of the second half is where it really got live. So I think I dozed off around the middle of the fourth quarter, but Gus Johnson woke me clean up. I had to sit straight up on myself. I said, something done happened. But it was a really good game. It was an emotional game. All of the celebs were there.
So they turned the college football into a celebrity event now.
Oh, you ain't know? Matt Leiner was in the house.
No, he don't count.
Lindell White was in the house. Vince Young.
Okay, well, that makes – okay, yeah, you want them.
They're supposed to be there. What's his name? All right. What's his name? Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, okay.
It was a star-studded – you know, he's a big Texas fan. Yeah, it was a star-studded –
I'm sorry, Texas. Yeah, he's a big Texas fan.
I was looking for Snoop Dogg. You know, he's a big USC fan.
Oh, that's right. So, that's right.
So I think that once you go into overtime, that's when you really can see, you know, who has the better set of plays, who can play the best under pressure. And yeah, USC pulled that one out. And it was pretty easy. I mean, well, they went to double overtime, but, you know, USC, they're just too good.
They are, but you know, just too good. I'm still not sold on Darnold yet. People love him.
Oh, child, you know the draft boys are jumping, right? Oh, baby.
Well, I know, but I feel like he's one of those people that can probably do no wrong. And so, you know, he had 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You know, I'm not sold on him yet. I know he's coming out after this year. So, and they have 9 more games to play, I believe. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe he can change my mind, but for now, I just feel like he got some work to do. He has some work to do. And Texas, to me, yes, I get it's a rivalry. Texas is not as talented roster wise as USC is, and I felt like that they should have been in a position where it should have been easy for them, and you know, it wasn't, and I think that the quarterback has something to do with that. So, you know, I'm just curious to see how he plays for the rest of the season, because again, people want USC to be good so bad again, and I get it. There's a lot of tradition with USC. I completely get why, but I'm just not ready to jump on that wagon yet. I just feel like y'all got to show me some more. Because as of right now, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this. And speaking of other quarterbacks, you mentioned the Louisville game, the Louisville-Clemson game. Obviously, Clemson did dominate Louisville. But, of course, from that, people couldn't wait to, you know, continue to talk about Lamar Jackson. And for whatever reason, these sports sites have been talking to these scouts, including Bill Polian. Why the fuck we are asking for Bill Polian's advice at this point is beyond me. But he, among others, have said that he could be an NFL wide receiver or a punt returner, which is a slap in the face.
Ooh, he said a punt returner? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lamar Jackson got to talk about his mama for that. He got to talk about his mama.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and listen, Lamar Jackson didn't have the better day than Bryant did for Clemson. He had 3 touchdowns. He had an interception. Lamar Jackson got a lot of issues on that offensive line, and their defense isn't good at all. And they let North Carolina stay in the game the week before. So, I'm not putting that all on Lamar, but what is your opinion? What's your take on when people say, you know, Lamar isn't really Heisman worthy, or Lamar can go to the NFL as a wide receiver or a return kicker?
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm trying to not have my fist raised, but look, they want tall black men that are fast and got good hands to catch balls out the air. They don't want them to throw balls.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you see a tall, you want to turn him into a wide receiver so fast. Why can't he have a shot as a quarterback in the NFL? Quarterbacks are becoming more mobile. Why not? Why not? Why you got to reduce him to wide receiver? I mean, I don't want to say reduce because sometimes it works for some people, like Terrell Pryor. Okay, it works for Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
But Terrell Pryor ain't and never will be a Lamar Jackson. So I just don't see why we're doing all of that. And let's get him through this year. Let's get him through combine. Let's get him through all of that kind of stuff before you start saying what he can't do and what he can do.
I have a problem with it because I'm watching the NFL pretty regularly, obviously, as you are as well. And I'm watching a lot of trash on my TV. Ryan is there. Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, all trash. And that's just 3 people that I named. I mean, the list can go on and on, but we don't have that kind of time. We don't want to leave y'all on this podcast for me to go down the list of trash that's in the National Football League. So what is it about Lamar Jackson that you think that he can't be better than these guys that are playing on Sundays? Because right now the NFL has a quarterback problem, a big quarterback problem, mm-hmm. and you don't want to admit it, but there's about a dozen good quarterbacks, a dozen meaning 12, which means less than half of the National Football League because there's 32 teams. And then everybody else is mediocre or below average or just garbage. So what is it about Terrell Pryor that you think that he can't be between 13 and 20 in the National Football League, which would still be better than a third of his counterparts. That's the problem that I have, is that you watch the play every single week, but yet you want to tell this man that he needs to do something else. No, he needs to perfect the craft that he's in. And if you want to say that he's like a glorified Michael Vick, well, I don't know if people forgot. Michael Vick won football games for the Falcons. He went to Lambeau in the playoff game and beat Brett Favre in Green Bay and went to the NFC Championship. Now, was it pretty? No. Mm-hmm. But I think that Lamar Jackson's game is a bit different because he's evolving as a quarterback. He's doing more things in the pocket. His footwork has improved. And Lamar seems like the kind of guy that is going to take the time to learn the system, watch game film, something that Michael Vick has admitted he did not do in his earlier football days. So I don't see why the Michael Vick, if he's Michael Vick, well, Michael Vick went number one overall and he played pretty damn good.
And guess what? Wasn't it exciting to watch him?
It sure as hell was.
So this is what I'm trying to talk about. You said it, but you didn't say it. The NFL is boring. Like, we watch college because it's exciting. The NFL is boring.
Yes.
It is boring. If it's not some big, explosive play, that shit is boring.
Yes, we're bored.
So like, I don't want to say, oh, sit back in the pocket. Oh, sit back. Oh, my God. Like, I want to be like, oh, look, he's moving this way. He's going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, he ran for 30 yards. Like, we wanted to be excited. I want Gus Johnson. That's what I want. I want the Gus Johnson feeling when I'm watching football. You know, it don't have to be Gus Johnson, but the Gus Johnson feeling, like that excited feeling. And the NFL is boring. You need Lamar Jackson. You need Cam Newton. You need that. These people are boring.
Yep, I agree. 110%. You need those guys. And if I hear somebody continue to say that they want Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson, please, Lord, don't ever let that motherfucker scout for my team, because I want to keep them far away. That man is a bum. Okay, I don't know what the hell y'all seeing in that man, other than the fact that he a tall white guy that got big hands. He's a bum.
Hey, that's all I need.
He's not a good football player. He hasn't beaten anybody in a Power 5 conference. He has not beaten anybody in the Power 5 conference. You so in love with the potential of what he could be, and he the next Blake fucking Bortles or Blaine Gabbert. Get the fuck out of my face. I don't care. Lamar Jackson has given you all the proof that you need, and he's still learning. You can tell he's still learning. He's still figuring out ways to be a good quarterback and to translate that into the National Football League. I don't want to hear no fucking more else about anybody else, other than the fact that maybe Baker Mayfield, if you say Baker Mayfield is better, I'm not going to debate you. Josh Rosen, I get why. But everybody else, kiss my ass, okay? Because Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson should be the only top three quarterbacks that we're talking about right now. Everybody else got a whole lot of work to do.
Yep.
But Lamar Jackson will be so good for the National Football League, because I am so fucking tired of being bored. I'm so going to find something to do tomorrow, because I do not want to watch Jared Goff versus Brian Hoyer.
Oh, honey, I'm at the gym.
Are you fucking kidding me, NFL? You think I'm going to use my Thursday night to do that? I'm going to sleep. I'd rather get sleep than watch that shit. So, no. You need Lamar Jackson to be your NFL quarterback, or else you really going to be in trouble. All right, guys. So,
I'm sorry. It's the way you say I'm going to sleep. Serious, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. I'd be looking for Rita. Rita be gone. Rita respond to me about 5:30 in the morning and be like, girl, I was knocked out.
I be sleep. I get to my be. And look, Charles knows, because the game starts at 8:30. It ain't nothing for me to be asleep at 8:30. That ain't nothing for me to be asleep at 8:30. That's some real life shit. I would be. Mm-hmm. I could go to sleep. Okay, I would rather sleep than to watch that fucking game tomorrow. I'll tell you that. Don't tell me my options are sleep or watch that bored ass game.
I ain't gonna make it through that game anyway.
I'm going to bed. I'll read about it tomorrow, the next day. Guys, the podcast, we believe, is over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
So, my final thought, a little bit somber final thought, is this week, about a week ago, we lost a friend to the podcast, a friend to both Rita and our timelines, and a friend to the football community. He was a radio broadcaster in Texas named Sean Adams. he followed the University of Texas. He was a motivational speaker. He was a personal trainer, a businessman. He just did lots of things. He co-hosted a morning radio show from 6 to 9. And, you know, he passed away suddenly, 46 years old, had a massive heart attack, left a wife and 2 children. So I definitely wanted to say something. He used to listen to our podcast. He asked us to come on his radio show. And I know at least I told him that I need to be able to say some curse words, you know. I can be ignorant sometimes, but but he was a good guy, and definitely missed the interaction between him already. And I know that he was enjoying that Texas USC game. And I think I tweeted out a couple of times, Sean is up there pulling strings, because I couldn't believe that they made it to overtime. I said, oh, he's up there pulling strings. So, you know, Sean, we are going to miss you, friend. I was so devastated to hear that this happened, but I'm so very impressed by how many people's lives you touched, including ours. His co-host left a loving tribute when his co-host, I think his co-host's daughter was sick, or somebody was sick, and they said that Sean got everybody in his church to bring them meals every day. So they had like weeks worth of meals. Like that's a real guy right there. And I just, he on his Twitter account, he used to tweet out little, they call them Seanisms. So he used to tweet out little Seanisms. So I found one that I see that people kept retweeting and kept talking about. And it says, are the people in your boat rowing with you or drilling holes? If you can't change your friends, if you can't change your friends, change your friends. Okay. So Sean, we're going to miss you, friend. You know, I hope that you Texas doesn't embarrass you in heaven.
I hope not either, Sean.
I know, and it was very nice. I mean, even Mac Brown, Mac Brown is actually how I found out. I missed it all on Twitter, but I heard Mac Brown say it on the ESPN broadcast, and I like my stomach dropped. I was like, what? So I immediately got on Twitter, and you know, once you start searching, you see everything. So rest in peace, Sean, and you got the best seats in the house now.
I completely agree. Sean, you definitely be missed. He was a good dude, man. 46 years old?
46,
yeah. Years young, because that's so young to me. We've lost a couple of guys over the years since we've started this podcast, and it just never gets easier because you gain relationships with these guys. And, you know, just when it's sudden like this, you know, and rest in peace to Mike Fryer as well. You just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just kind of, it's just kind of sad. You know, tough. What I mean?
It's tough.
Yeah, it is. It's very tough. So, yeah, Sean, you know, hopefully Texas didn't embarrass you too much and you enjoyed the game. And hopefully they'll turn it around just for you, my friend. For me, I just want to wish all my Ravens peeps, if you're listening, that's heading out to London, some safe travels. A lot of people started leaving on Wednesday. My parents are leaving, or depending on when you listen to this, had left on Thursday. You know, it should be a great time. Don't let – I know London's going through some things right now, you know, with some terrorism. But hopefully –
I know they better leave my mama Wanda alone. She better come back in one piece.
No, right? That's exactly. Yeah. My mama better come back in one piece, or else I'm going to have to fly across the pond and cause –
we're going to have to get ugly. Ugly in London. Ugly in London.
More people be safe out here in these London streets, because they're wilding out a little bit. But just be safe and enjoy the game. Have a good time, and you know, just enjoy the sights and everything. And I'm happy for them. I'm kind of jealous that I'm not going, but it's okay. I'll just stay here and just stay the course. But yeah, have a good time, guys. All right. So next week we'll be back. Hopefully the NFL gives us some more stories, because, I mean, I don't want to keep pulling out these fucking Cowboys stories and these Giants stories. I mean,
you know, I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. You know, you said we're going to talk about that. I'm like, the who? Never happened. Week 2 never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
So week 2 never happened. They want to know, y'all. They want to know. Give us some more topics, okay? Because now we're just pulling the shit out of our ass because y'all boring as hell. I mean, that's where
boring
we're going.
Boring as hell. I'm going to be watching golf. Put Lamar Jackson on everybody's team.
Somebody brought it up. Somebody said it perfectly. The NFL, the first 4 weeks of the new preseason, so the games ain't gonna get good till quarter 2. And yeah, I think
that's true.
And people should expect that probably around week 4, week 5, we'll start to get some better games. But these first 3 weeks, y'all, we just gonna have to tough it out. So, Cap still doesn't have a job, but hopefully at some point.
And Roger Goodell is still a piece of shit.
Yep, forever and always. Until next week.
Bye.
Don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance. I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker. I make bloody move. Bloody move.